Appreciate that. Thank you for being here tonight. I'm asking you to turn to Psalm 94. Psalm 94, and as you turn, I just ask you a quick question. How many have unspoken requests tonight? Unspoken request. I think that some of the unspoken requests that are probably on our minds and hearts, things that we take very seriously and yet can't maybe say publicly, in some ways may be covered in the verse that we want to look at tonight. This is an imprecatory psalm where the psalmist is asking God to bring vengeance upon his enemies. But in the midst of this, or actually toward the end, there's a little verse I'd like to look at. It's the 19th verse of Psalm 94. Just like to pull that out and meditate on it for this few minutes that we have together tonight. Psalm 94 and verse 19. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Read that again. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Just want to pull out three little simple principles from this verse tonight. As we think about this under the heading of being delighted by His comforts. So the first principle is this: anxiety attacks. Anxiety attacks. We see as the verse begins, the psalmist admits, in the multitude of my anxieties within me. I might start that out by saying, you're not the only one. If Satan has told you that you're the only one, you're not the only one. The psalmist was one, and there are many others in this room and in this world. If we read the psalm, we would see that the psalmist lived in a time and a place where he was surrounded by pride and wickedness and insolence, iniquity, boasting, affliction, violence, blasphemy, foolishness, adversity, evil, persecution, and injustice. And you can read through the rest of the psalm to see that. But what was burdening him as he unburdens his heart in this verse is not so much what was going on around him, outside of him, but what was inside of him. In the King James, the word there that is translated anxieties in the New King James is just the word thoughts. Thoughts. But in the Hebrew, the focus and the emphasis seems to be on not just any thoughts, but particularly those thoughts that are anxious or distressing. And as I thought about this, and it really struck me the way that the psalmist expressed this thought of anxiety attacks, he said, in the multitude of my anxieties. In the multitude, in the abundance of my anxious, distressing thoughts. I don't know how much actual scientific research has been done, but it's estimated that the average person has about 50,000 thoughts a day. About 50,000 thoughts a day. That varies according to the person who's putting it out, from as low as 12,000 up to as many as 80,000 thoughts per day. It's also estimated that of those 50,000 average thoughts a day, about 70% of those could be classified as negative thoughts. Probably 35,000. Distressing, anxious thoughts. You don't have to raise your hand or nod your head or even look at me, but can you relate to that? If you can't, I praise God for that. I can relate to that. I can relate. And I don't know about 50,000 thoughts and 70% of all that, but you know, I know that my mind is constantly being assailed by anxious and distressing thoughts. It's a struggle. Sometimes I even can stand back and be a little bit objective and say, I can see why people could go insane. I'm serious. We say he lost his mind. I can see that. When you're dealing with all these anxious thoughts coming against you, I can see why it could overpower some people. The anxieties within us. In this very room right now, I can't read anybody's mind. Aren't you glad? I'm glad you can read my mind, all right? But let me. These are just some things that came to my mind. Some of the 50,000 thoughts that I had. Here's some of them, okay? Here's some of the anxieties that I think are probably in this room, going through people's minds, not necessarily constantly, but at times. Fear, doubt, insecurity, worry, hopelessness, anger, a sense of lack of purpose or meaning, conflict, inadequacy, failure, disappointment, guilt, loneliness, pressure, vulnerability, decisions to be made, rejection, uncertainty, cares, worthlessness, comparison, frustration, aggravation, past wounds and scars, shame, threats, confusion, pain, change, stress, regret, accusation, panic, hypocrisy, temptation, self-judgment, condemnation, obsession, compulsion. I'm getting going. We could keep going. If we had time for a testimony meeting, we could testify of the anxious thoughts that go through our minds. We're attacked by a multitude of anxious and distressing thoughts, and that can be misery. That can be heavy. Nona Earnhardt told me years ago, a Wednesday night, people are tired. Encourage them. So now it's time for the encouragement, okay? I got you discouraged, right? If you didn't already have those thoughts, now you've had them. So thanks a lot, Mark, bringing that up. But anxiety attacks, that's reality. Our second little principle is this. Creator comforts. Creator comforts. He says, in the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts. That's where he focuses his attention now, where he focuses his thoughts. The Creator, and He comforts. We think of creature comforts. Those are things that contribute to our bodily comfort and ease, like food and warmth and a comfortable bed and hot water to take a shower or a bath. But here we're talking about Creator comforts. God, who is the Creator of all things, including you, is also the Comforter. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Paul prayed for the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17, that our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Comfort your hearts. By what avenues does God comfort? We could spend a lot of time here. We don't have a lot of time, but very quickly I'll just mention some of the things that we see in the Scripture that are specifically said that God uses to comfort us. And one is the Scripture itself, His Word. Romans 15:4 speaks of the comfort of the Scriptures, that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. The psalmist in Psalm 119, the 52nd verse, he says, I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. He went to the Word of God. And there we find the truth of God. There we find, as our brother Sonny reminded us last Wednesday night, the promises of God. And those things comfort us. Even the correction of God to help us to get back on the right path, the refocusing of our mind and our attention and our hearts, those things comfort us. And then God also comforts us by His Spirit. We read in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31 that the early churches were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The comfort of the Holy Spirit. He comforts us by His very presence living inside of us, by reminding us of the truths and promises and corrections and refocusings of Scripture, by assuring us that we belong to God, by showing us that we have a purpose in this world as believers, by reminding us that He has gifted us spiritually, by interceding for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. God comforts us by His Holy Spirit. And He comforts us by His people. In 2 Corinthians 1, we could go on in the fourth verse there. I read part of the verse. But He also says in that verse that He comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. And so as God uses us to comfort others, He also uses others to comfort us with the comfort that they've received. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 11, Paul told the Thessalonian church that he and his missionary team had comforted them like a father comforting his children. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, we have one of those one another's. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And then we could lump a lot of things into what we might call His instruments of comfort. Besides His Word and His Spirit and His people, we read in Psalm 23 and verse 4 that the psalmist said, I will fear no evil, for You are with me, Your rod and Your staff. They comfort me. We could look at the rod and the staff in many ways, but it seems that the rod was an instrument, a tool of protection. The staff was more a piece of equipment used to support. God sometimes does that supernaturally, and sometimes He does it through very natural means. Sometimes it's a sunshiny day that He uses to comfort us. Sometimes it's a song that we hear, or that comes back to our mind that comforts us for that day. Sometimes it's a memory of someone or something that brings a comfort to our souls. And God is able to do that. You see, the Creator comforts. And then our last little principle is distinctive delights. Distinctive delights. And the multitude of my anxieties within me, Your comforts, O Lord, delight my soul. To delight means to bring great pleasure to. The Hebrew word has the root of that, the picture of a couple of sheep out sporting in a field. Just a little baby lambs. And we might think about our grandkids out running around in the yard and just having a good time, taking great pleasure in that. I say distinctive delights here because the psalmist says, these are my anxieties, my anxious thoughts, and they're within me, but Lord, Your comforts delight my soul. Not that He doesn't comfort others and delight their souls, but the psalmist is saying, this is distinctive to me. Their delight's distinctive to you as God comforts you. It's interesting, a variety of translations of this little word, delight. Some of the other translations say, bring me joy, calm me down, cheer me up, make me feel secure, make me happy, rejoice my soul, soothe my soul, make me glad, bring me joy, encourage me, give me renewed hope and cheer. There's the thought that even within all of these thoughts racing through our minds, that God will come in and He will comfort us to the point that we are not only enduring, we are not only tolerating, but we actually are delighting. That we can experience the thrill of God in our hearts and beings, even as we're dealing with all of these anxious thoughts. That the warmth of God's nearness, that the fullness of who God is and what He desires for us, that's the delight He wants for us. If you can think about something in your life, it doesn't have to be a spiritual thing right now, but something that you say, you know, that really delights me. that brings me great pleasure. If I go there, I see that person, I do this, or I hear that, it just delights me. And as you think about that, just think about this delight that God desires for you is even greater than that. Because it comes from our infinite God. He intervenes in our anxious thoughts through comforting, allowing us to actually find delight in the middle of the distressing thoughts. Now, it's true that it may not completely take away those difficult thoughts. And it's true that it may not take them away permanently. We live in a sinful world. We are sinful people ourselves in the flesh that we have, and Satan continues his ongoing attack. But the presence of the delights that God brings to us through His comforts, they at least soften the edges of those thoughts, if not take them away. So if your mind is racing, or when your mind races and thoughts race through your minds and you're burdened with the multitude of the anxieties within you, and anxiety attacks, look to the Lord and say, "Lord, Your comforts delight my soul. Comfort me, Lord. I need Your comfort." And then embrace His comforts. Embrace the comfort of His Word and the comfort of His Spirit and the comfort of His people and the comfort of His instruments of protection and support. And then experience that delight in the very center of that mental storm. Let's pray. Father, in the multitude of our anxieties within us, Your comforts delight our souls. Father, we thank You that when anxiety attacks, You as the one who created us and knows us inside and out, and You know every little nook and cranny of these amazing brains and minds that You have put within us. And Lord, thank You for the distinctive delights that we have at times experienced. Lord, may we experience it even more as we go through the difficulties of an ever-changing world and downward spiraling world. Lord, we thank You that You love us. Greater is He that's within us than he that's in the world. So we thank You for the relief that You give us. Thank You for comforting us. Thank You for delighting our souls with Your Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.